Good morning. Some lovely songs. Never sang that song about the Psalm 23. It's a really beautiful sentiment. And what strikes me about Psalm 23 is that people find a lot of comfort in it. But it starts out with a statement that has to be true for the comfort and peace that the psalm offers to be real. And that statement is, the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? He certainly wants to be and will willingly be your shepherd if you will be one of his sheep. I'll talk for a few moments today about being a child of God and using this passage that was read a few moments ago from Philippians chapter 2, in which Paul says that we need to prove ourselves to be children of God. Are you a child of God? Sometimes people use the expression, we're all God's children. And it's a way of saying that God cares about all of us, that God made all of us, and God certainly is taking care of all of us in many ways. And in those senses, we are all of God's children, and yet there is another way. The Bible talks about us being a child of God that is different. All human beings are God's children, but not everybody is a child of God, as Paul indicates in this passage. There's different ways that you could express that concept. All of the children born into a family have the privilege of being part of that family, but not all of the children necessarily exercise that privilege. Some children leave. Some children, like the prodigal son, don't want to live in their father's house, and they depart and estrange themselves from their families. And in a large extent, that's what all humanity has done with their God. We are all God's children, but not everybody wants to be in God's house. But we do. We want to be children of God. We want to be in God's house. And that's why we're here today in the assembly of the Lord, singing these songs in which we say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I want to be part of his flock. I want to be part of his family because I enjoy those privileges. I cherish them. And I want to keep them. But not everybody feels that way. But in order to be part of God's family, to be in God's house, one must accept God's rule, God's instruction, God's guidance, God's love. And in that sense, Paul writes to the Philippian brethren, and he says, you need to prove yourselves to be children of God. Let's look at this passage again in Philippians 2, verse 14. Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. It's a wonderful passage. Paul writes to Philippian brethren. They're brethren. They're, in fact, brethren who have sent monies to Paul to support him and help him, and he's very thankful for that. And he feels bond with the Philippian brethren, very close to them, praises them, encourages them. But nevertheless, he says, you need to prove yourselves to be children of God. I'll talk about that for a few moments this morning. Are you a child of God? Can you prove it? Prove yourselves to be children of God. It doesn't read this way in all translations. Many translations say become or be children of God. The word is genomai, and it means to become. And the way that it's used in this passage, and the reason it's translated this way, the New American Standard Version, is that you need to demonstrate. You can't just call yourselves children of God. You need to be children of God. You need to act like it. You need to become it. You need to prove it. You know, identity is an interesting thing. There's a lot of discussion in our society about gender fluidity, about self-identification. How do you identify? How do you identify? And it's a pretty good sign that the world is messed up when people can't figure out whether they're a man or a woman. But identity is an important thing. You need to know who you are. And who you are is determined by certain qualifications. You can't just say, I am somebody, and make it so. There has to be standards by which you determine your identity. Now, for instance, I say that I am the brother of George Clooney. Isn't it obvious? Look there. Oh, I don't know why you're laughing. It seems perfect. I saw this picture in the airport, and I just thought, man, it's uncanny. It's spooky, the resemblance. I'm probably George Clooney's brother. Well, you probably would want more proof, wouldn't you? You'd want proof of that identification, and I have none to give you other than the obvious. And when you go through the airport and you travel to another country, they want to see this. They want to see your identification. They want to see proof of who you claim to be. And they look at you, and they look at your picture on your passport, and they look at your information, and they probably have something there on the computer screen that says a whole lot about you that you'd be scared to know that they know about you. But they want to know who you are before they let you on the plane or before they let you into the country. That's the way that works. You need to be able to prove who you are. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Proving ourselves to be children of God. Are you a child of God? Can you prove? What's the evidence? What can you point to in your life and say, I am a child of God, and this shows it? Because that's exactly what Paul is saying in this passage. He's saying you need to show it. You need to become it. You need to be it. You can't just say it. You got to be it. And he says certain things in the passage that are the standards by which that is determined. And the first thing that he says is, don't grumble. Now, see, right out of the gate, I know a lot of you are in trouble. Because I'm in trouble too. Do all things without grumbling. See, that's directly connected in this context with proving yourselves to be a child of God, because children of God should not be people who grumble. And we often do. But we shouldn't. Now, in this context, Paul may be talking about the relationship between Christians in Philippi and how maybe some of them don't get along with each other, or I don't know. He doesn't really say. But generally speaking, Christians, children of God, people who are in God's household and who enjoy the privilege of being children of God, should be content and happy people. Because we have it. We have the greatest and the best relationship and one that we cannot lose as long as we hang on to it. We have the grace of God. We have God's favor. And we have the knowledge and the assurance that God's going to take care of us, that things are going to be okay, that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what challenges that we face, it's going to be okay. And the problems and the difficulties that we encounter, they may be irritating in a minor way, but that's all they are. They're just minor things. Everything that happens to us in this life, even those things that the world considers to be the of most grave consequence, they're really minor. And we know that because we're children of God. And so the little things that people do to irritate us and the things that annoy us, we really don't have any cause to grumble about them. And so when we do, when we grumble and complain and we're whining, we're not being children of God. Prove yourself to be a child of God. In the coming week and the coming days of your life, as you encounter people and instances and situations that ordinarily might cause you to grumble, don't. Do all things without grumbling. And prove yourself to be a child of God. The second one is be disturbing or disputing. Do all things without disputing. Well, how do you do that? Nearly everything that we do in this seems to involve disputing, doesn't it? And seems to be more and more so. Or maybe I'm just getting to be a cranky old man. I don't know. But everything's disputed. Why? Because egos are involved and personal interests are involved, and because people are so fixated on the minor, upon the unimportant, and they get into a rut of reaction, always reacting to what other people say and giving as good as you get. And that's not a child of God. Child of God lives in the grace and peace of God, and we enjoy the privilege of having God's favor and His mercy, and we should be willing to extend that same tolerance and mercy to other people because it's good to be a child of God and to have that. And it costs us nothing to be patient. It costs us nothing to be tolerant and kind and considerate. Instead of arguing with people, they say, why? Let's work this out. And because that's what children of God do. Because they've been raised in a household in which grumbling and disputing is just not the thing to do. It's just not tolerated. It's just not acceptable. And that's the way we should behave. Philippians, again, chapter 1 and verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This unity, this cooperation, this mutual help and support and encouragement is a mark of the family of God. It is what the Lord wants us to be and to do as His children. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4, giving no cause for offense in anything in order that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God. Our conduct, our behavior makes an impression on people. We claim to be children of God, have some special status in that regard, a member of God's household, influenced by my Heavenly Father. That is the persona that we should portray to the world. And I'm not talking about being hypocritical or putting on a false face. I'm talking about being genuine, genuinely concerned about other people and their interests, genuinely cooperative, genuinely a person who is congenial, easy to get along with. Because a person sees that and says, man, that person is different. What has influenced them and made them this way? And if you ever have the chance, and someone says, you know, I appreciate the way that you act and the way that you conduct yourself, you say, well, I try to be that way because I'm a child of God. And I want other people to have the same privilege. It's a great opportunity, isn't it? But it won't come unless we follow this instruction. That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Now, that's another high standard, another hurdle that we have to be able to cross to prove ourselves children of God. To be blameless. That gets cast about, and it's unwarranted a lot of times, but a lot of times it is warranted. There's enough blame to go around is the expression. But we should strive and try in our life not to be the one at fault. You know, people will accuse you wrongly of being at fault, but sometimes they'll accuse you and they'll be right. And don't be that person. Don't be someone who is at blame. You caused the problem. You're the one who did something selfish or out of order or untoward, and you're to blame. And when you're that way, you're not acting as a child of God. And certainly in terms of morality, keeping yourself pure, behaving yourself, to be a child of God is to be a person who strives to be innocent and blameless. Not like the world. Above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And it is. It is a crooked and perverse generation. And we need to understand that as children of God, we don't participate in that. We don't want to be one of the people in this world, one of the many people in this world who live in a world the Bible describes as being perverse and crooked. We need to be different. To be a child of God in this world is to be different. And that makes you stick out, yes. It makes you uncomfortable sometimes. It makes you the object of some ridicule or derision, yes. But be blameless and be innocent. Prove yourself to be children of God. Ephesians 5, 3 through 4. Do not morality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. There is a way of life. There is a carefulness of life, a carefulness to avoid immorality and sin and evil talk that must characterize us as children of God. Prove yourself to be children of God. Don't be like the world. And it's not always easy. And we slip. And that's why Paul writes to the Philippians, good brethren, good saints. And he says, you need to prove yourself children of God. 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as befits women making a claim to godliness. Now, I think, or as you probably know, this is not but construction, as Brother Barry Hill would point out. And the Lord is not saying you should never braid your hair. You should never wear gold. You should never put on a dress. No. He's saying, look, how you characterize yourself and how people perceive you and view you and the way that you want to present yourself to the world as a woman should not be dictated solely based upon your physical appearance. That cannot be the way that you identify yourself as a child of God. It must be by your behavior, by your spirit and conduct, your generosity of spirit. And this principle doesn't just apply to women, of course. It applies to all of us who seek and strive to be children of God. But the point is that in the world, people identify themselves by their appearance. They want to look like George Clooney. To be perfectly frank with you, I am so very happy that I do not have George Clooney as a brother. I much prefer the brother that I actually do have. Because looking like George Clooney, or looking like some gorgeous model, that is not an identity that should matter to anybody. But this identity, making a claim to godliness, you claim it, you claim to be a child of God, show it. Not this way, but this way, rather by means of good works as befits women, making a claim to godliness. Now that's an identity. No one will ever put you on the cover of some magazine because this identity. But it is a wonderful identity. Among whom you appear as lights in the world, he says in Philippians 2 and verse 15. Now see that. That's a distinction which is so very important, isn't it? Because the world's dark. The world is confused. And people in the world are stumbling about in darkness and in confusion. They don't know it. Because if you're born in the cave and you grow up in the cave and all you have ever seen is darkness, then you don't know that there's light. The light is completely lost upon you. It's oblivious to you. You don't even see it. But then, when that little bit of light starts to break in on a person who's lived their whole life in a cave, it's blinding. It's confusing. It is overwhelming. But eventually, it is enlightening. We need to be those lights in this world of darkness. And we can't be those lights if we just act like everybody else and talk like everybody else and think like everybody else and we're no different from everybody else, then we're just part of the darkness. But to be different, to be like our Lord teaches us to be, is to be light shining out in darkness. It's a glorious calling. It's an honorable calling. It's a privilege to have a calling. But we can be, and we must be those lights in the world. And sometimes we demur and we say, oh, well, I'm nobody special. I don't want to foster the idea that I'm somehow better than anybody else. And so I'll just kind of be in the background and just be humble. And, well, you know, there's humility and then there's failing to be a light in the world. We must not be ashamed of who we are. And we must not hide who we are. We must be lights in the world. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see and glorify your Father. Glorifying, brethren, the light that we shine is a reflection of the influence of God in our life. We are children of God. It is our parents that we reflect upon. And our parent is God. Let it be, and so prove yourselves to be children of God. Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Holding fast the word of life is something that takes work, effort, exercise, study, thought, meditation. Holding fast. Think of it this way. You're floating upon the ocean. You've been cast upon the sea. Your ship has sunk. And you are out there alone on the wide stretch of the ocean, hoping that someone will come by, hoping that someone will know that the ship is sunk and will be looking for you. But all you have is one flotation device, one little ring of life. And you get tired, oh, so tired, but you cling. You hold to that life vest, or that life preserver. You hold to it. You cling to it. You tie it about you, and you will not let go of it because it's the only thing keeping you alive. Hold fast to the word of life. It is your identity. It's who you are. Don't let go of it. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop going to Bible study. Don't stop listening to sermons. And keep at it every day, holding fast the word of life and exercising it and practicing it and thinking it in your life, because that is who you are as a child of God. Because if you don't, then what will happen in the day of the Lord? Will it have proven all in vain? Did Paul's effort prove to be in vain in your life, in my life? Did the effort of your brethren, of the church, of your preacher, of the people trying to help you, is our efforts to help you and all of us to encourage you to be children of God, to prove ourselves children of God, is it in vain because you failed to hold fast to the word of life? It could be, it might be. Prove yourself to be a child of God. Hold fast to the word of life. In conclusion, we claim to be God's children. We must prove it. And we do this by living godly lives. If you want to be a child of God today, if you want to claim to be a child of God, then you must hold fast to that part of the word of life. It tells you what to do to become a child of God, to return to God's household and be part of His family. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ. And be baptized. Be immersed in water. And have your sins washed away. Because that's what the Word of Life tells you to do. Prove yourself to be a child of God today by doing those things that the Word tells you to do. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing. Into the fold of safety.